Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day, together by the radio, and to study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll get your Bible and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning again to the book of John, chapter number 14. And in verse number 16, our Lord said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And then in John 16:7, our Lord said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." We're continuing our study on the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. May I say once again, I am convinced the most misunderstood person and ministry in the Bible is the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. May I say this without being critical of anyone, but there's a lot of stuff blamed on the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with it. So we're trying to learn truth from the Word of God. And I say again to you that the Holy Spirit never contradicts the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Spirit never violates the principles that are laid down in the Scriptures. You see, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. So why would he go against what he has already said in the Bible? So we started our study in the Word of God by examining the Trinity. And I cannot explain to you all the reasons why. Though he is one God, he determined to manifest himself in three different personalities. And this Bible calls them God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. And then we started looking at the person of the Holy Spirit. And I said to you that the Holy Spirit is not just an it. Then I said to you that the Holy Spirit is not a figment of somebody's imagination. He is not just a figure of speech. He is not just a fantasy that someone dreamed of or a force out in the world that we live in. Then I also said to you, the Holy Spirit is not a second-class God. He's not a substitute for God. He's not a servant of God. So I listed all of these things that the Holy Spirit is not. And then we come to the positive side. What is the Holy Spirit, or who is the Holy Spirit? And I said to you, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. And as a person, he has feelings, he has emotions, and he has desires. And then we looked at the fact that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are co-eternal. One is no older than the other, and one is no younger than the other, and one will not last or live any longer than the other. They are co-eternal. And then we found out in the Word of God, they are co-existent. They exist together. One God manifested in three personalities, and yet there is perfect unity among the Trinity. No division, no diversity as far as their attributes are concerned. And then I said to you that they're co-equal. God the Father and God the Son are no more God than God the Spirit is God. And then after we looked at this proper recognition of who and what he is not, and then who he is. Then we started looking at his power required. And I want to say again, one of the great needs of our day is for God's people to recognize how much we need the power of God in the work of God. Our services have gone to man's planning, man's programming, and all that produces is man's power. And I am not talking about something that is disorderly or unruly, but I'm talking about recognizing once again the need of the power of the Spirit of God. Let me repeat a statement I made earlier. In the matter of the work of God, there is God's part, which man cannot do. Then there is man's part, which God will not do. And great is the day in a man's life when he learns to cooperate with the Spirit of God so that he might accomplish the work of God and the will of God for his life. I said to you, first of all, the power of the Holy Ghost is required because only the power of the Holy Spirit can convict of sin. Again, I remind you, we ought to witness with urgency and with fervor and with zeal, and we ought to present the gospel as plainly and as powerful as we possibly can. But we must recognize that the Holy Spirit has a job of convicting of sin. It does not matter whether it's sin in the life of the sinner or in the life of the saint. The Holy Spirit is the one to reprove and uncover sin and let that individual see how exceedingly sinful their sin is in the sight of a thrice holy God. So I said to you, only the power of the Holy Spirit can convict of sin. And then I said to you, only the power of the Holy Spirit can convert a sinner. I cannot save a sinner. You cannot save a sinner. The sinner cannot save himself or herself. The church cannot save them. No one can save them except the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that birth that he speaks about there is a spiritual birth. Our first birth, we were born into sin. Our second birth, we're born into the family of God because we've died out to sin and been resurrected by the power of the Spirit of God. And again, I emphasize that we ought to have a burden for sinners and a zeal to see them saved. We ought to witness, pass out tracts, go on visitation, and do everything in our power to present a clear presentation of the gospel to sinners. And we ought to do our best to persuade them to listen to the message of God and to yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit as he draws them to Christ. But we must realize, friend, there is an area of that new birth which is a miracle, and man cannot produce miracles. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost to birth a sinner into the family of God. Lest I be misunderstood, let me make this statement once again. We should continue to pass out gospel tracts. We should continue to witness to those that are unsaved. We should continue to weep over sinners that are lost in their sins and going to hell. We should continue to agonize at the throne of grace over the unsaved. But friend, we must be aware of the fact that we cannot save them. Only the Holy Ghost can birth a sinner into the family of God. The Bible said in Jonah 2:8, salvation is of the Lord. So my friend, we must realize that we must have the power of God, because only the power of the Holy Spirit can convict of sin and convert the sinner. And let me make one more statement. Friend, when an apple is ripe, You don't have to shake the limb 30 minutes to make it fall off the tree. Likewise, when a sinner is brought under Holy Ghost conviction, it does not take 15 verses of Just As I Am or some other invitation song to get them to an altar to call upon God. No, my friend. So the Holy Ghost is the only one who can convict of sin and convert the sinner. May I say to you quickly, number three, only the power of the Holy Spirit can conduct the services in our church. Now, we live in a generation where we have masterminds and mechanical ministries. Men have tried their own plans, programming, promotions, but nothing, and I want to repeat to emphasize, nothing can take the place of the Spirit of God in conducting the services in our church. Again, let me emphasize that what the Holy Spirit orders will be in order. The Word of God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 40, let all things be done decently and in order. God's not against order. God is a God of order. But friend, listen to me. We must realize that only the Holy Spirit knows how to put a church service together in the right way to meet the needs of the people. The Holy Spirit is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows who's in the service. He knows what their needs are. And he knows how to meet those needs. And he knows who he chooses to use to meet those needs. He knows what the singers need to sing. He knows what the preacher needs to preach. He knows if someone should give testimony of the grace of God in their life. No one else knows this. So the Holy Spirit is the only one that knows how to conduct the services over at the house of God. Now, when I say that, I must go a step farther. I'm aware that many unorganized and disorderly services today are blamed upon the leadership of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with them. They are the results of some human ideas and philosophies instead of the working of the Holy Spirit. Somebody might say, well, preacher, how can I tell the difference whether this is of man or of God? Again, I want to emphasize, when a work is of the Spirit of God, two things will always be evident. Number one, it will glorify God and not men. And then number two, it will always honor the teaching of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit never leads contrary to the teaching of the Holy Scriptures. So I say to you, we must recognize that only the power of the Holy Spirit can convict of sin. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can convert the sinner. And only the power of the Holy Spirit can conduct the services. And the Lord willing, we'll continue on tomorrow. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoy the broadcast today. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day to gather by the radio and study His Word together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I want to encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. We have a few churches and individuals that support us on a monthly basis, but we need to hear from a number of you. Would you pray for us? And then as the Lord directs your heart, sit down and write to us and share with us in the financial burden. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179, Thomas Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.